Well, if you would please turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 9. All right, let's hear God's word together this morning. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, sometimes as Christians, we forget how blessed we are. We forget how much God has given us his grace. So many gifts, so many things, and we forget these things. But in this passage, Jesus reminds us through his apostles' words, through Paul's words, that we really are better off than we think we are. And there's a lot of payoff for remembering that truth, for remembering God's gifts and his graces to us. It increases our gratitude. It decreases our worry, and it helps us to stay strong as we wait for Christ's return. It may not seem like a big deal to forget about the gifts that you've been given. You have the gifts after all. Why do we need to remember that we have them if we have them? But there is a real danger in forgetting. And there's a danger in forgetting the gifts God has given to us. One danger is that when we forget about the gifts, we forget about the giver. Moses says to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 6:12, "Then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Take care. Don't forget the Lord who did these things for you. God had blessed his people with a kind of freedom. They were no longer under the yoke of a foreign king. They no longer had the harsh slavery that they were under in Egypt. They were a free people now. They were free to worship, free to work, free to play, free to live, free to enjoy all these things that God had given them. But when they forgot about these things, when they grumbled about those things, they lost sight of the one who gave them to them, gave the gifts to them. One example of this, and there are many, is found in Nehemiah 9. In Nehemiah 9, verse 9, we read this. A recounting of Israel's history. "And you saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry at the Red Sea and performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants and all the people of his land. For you knew that they acted arrogantly against our fathers, and you made a name for yourself as it is to this day. And you divided the sea before them so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and you cast their pursuers into the depths as a stone into mighty waters. By a pillar of cloud you led them in the day, and by a pillar of fire in the night to light for them the way in which they should go. You came down on Mount Sinai and spoke from them from heaven and gave them right rules and true laws and good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them commandments and statutes and a law by Moses your servant. You gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought water from them out of a rock for their thirst. And you told them to go in and possess the land that you had sworn to give them. But they and our fathers acted presumptuously and stiffened their neck and did not obey your commandments. They refused to obey and were not mindful they were not mindful of the wonders that you had performed among them, but they stiffened their neck and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. God had, here Nehemiah recounts all of these things that God had done for them, one after another, after another, after another. But the people, instead of remembering to obey and remembering being mindful of the things he had done, they stiffened their necks and tried to return to slavery in Egypt. This is forgetting, not being mindful, is a dangerous thing. And sometimes people in the church do the same thing today. We forget and are not mindful about the wonders of mercy that we have received through Christ. We forget about our baptisms. We forget about the blessing of the Lord's Supper, of preaching. We neglect the spiritual fruit in our lives. We don't thank the Lord for the redemption that we see in others, the many ways in which he is blessing us from day to day. And when that happens, when we forget about the gifts, we tend to forget about the giver. We depart from the Lord. We start acting and relying on our own strength, and then we start wandering back into bondage. Forgetting how blessed we are and the one who blesses us is a real danger. It's important, in other words, to remember. We must not forget the gifts we are given. We must remember them. Well, the good news here is that God helps us to remember. All the time, he is reminding us, and I might add, forgetting our sins. Praise be to his name. And that's partly what he's doing here in this passage. He is reminding us of his grace. Through the apostle, the Lord Jesus is reminding us that we are better off than we think we are. He helps us to remember his blessings. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 4, and meditate on some of these things. When we start with the first board, we see that Paul is giving thanks to God because of the grace God gave to the Corinthians in Christ Jesus. This verse simply recognizes the fact that these are people who have received gifts from God. And this is no small thing. It's easy to sort of pass over this and say, well, of course, they're Christians. But just pause for a moment and think about what that means. Last Sunday evening, my friend Paul Johnson preached to us, and he told us the story about how he and his dad would sometimes write letters to famous people and just wait and see what they'd get back, kind of as a hobby. And sometimes they would. People would send them little things, letters, autographs. Perhaps you've done something similar. You felt the excitement of opening a package and seeing what you get, and you'd be amazed, right, that you got something from this person. Well, what if I told you that you've been given gifts not from a famous basketball player or a musician, but from God? Gifts from God. It's almost unbelievable, really, right? But that's exactly what he says here. And it's God himself who says it. Now follow me here. If it weren't enough to get gifts from God, remember that they are also gifts of grace. That's what Paul says here. Gifts, in other words, that we don't deserve. It's one thing to get something from a strange, famous person that we don't know. It's another thing to get a gift from someone that you've sinned against. Over and over again, somebody you've offended time and time again, who then pours out his favor on you. That's an amazing thing. We not only receive gifts from God, but we receive gifts of grace from God. And that's just verse 4. If we continue on, as we must, to verse 5, we read this, where we begin to hear of some of these specific gifts. Paul says, in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. First, notice the sort of superabundance of this language. Every way, enriched, all speech, all knowledge. And notice also how these two things are so important, speech and knowledge. The Corinthians, as we will see as we go on through this book, doubted this. They were chasing after wisdom all the time, the wisdom of this world. They were constantly out listening for the sweet talk of their day. Not necessary, says Paul. You don't need to chase after those things. You don't need to be constantly turning the channel and buying another book to try to get something that you think you need. You have everything already. God has enriched you in every way with all speech and all knowledge. You have all you need in coming to Christ. You don't need to go clamoring after other teachers or other ways. You are not lacking, but you are wealthy in having the wisdom of God and the Word of God. And if that's true for the Corinthians, it's even more true for us today because we have more of the New Testament. We have easy access to the Bible, really, anytime we want it. What a blessing. We don't have to go search around for wisdom, constantly hunting, never finding, always learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. No, in Christ and in His Word that He has revealed, we have everything we need for life, for godliness. And in particular, it is this word about Christ that Paul mentions in verse 6. This word about Christ and His work on the cross, His forgiveness of our sins, His pouring out gifts on us. That word is the foundation for all wisdom, knowledge. It gives us a perspective on everything. This is what God has given to us. These are some of the gracious things and the gifts that we have. As we continue on next in verse 7, Paul says explicitly that you are not lacking in any gift. What a statement! To not be lacking in any gift. Let me ask you this. How much of your life goes in trying to find things that you think you lack? What if you spent that energy simply believing that God has given you already exactly what you need? What if every day you told yourself, I'm not lacking in any gift? What if you simply said that? And I'm not paraphrasing here, I'm just reading the scripture, right? What if you simply said every day, I'm not lacking in any gift? What difference do you think that might make for your life? To really believe what Paul is saying here. How might that change your relationship with God? How might that change your relationship with others? Maybe instead of jealousy and strife and selfish ambition trying to get what other people have, you can just love them because you already have everything you need. As we finish this section, notice how Paul finishes this reminder of with this reminder of God's grace. He tells us that God is the one who will sustain you to the end. He is faithful, the word says. This reminds us that this enriching that God does in our lives, it's like a bank account that can never be drawn down, ever. Right? So it reminds us that God doesn't just give us these gifts, which we then use and depend on and then deplete over time. No, He gives us these gifts of which the supply is limitless. You are not lacking now, nor in the next moment, nor in the next moment, or ever. Why? Because God will sustain you. As He says, He loves you and He has called you in His Son. He has loved you so much that He has given His own Son to die for you so that you might have His life, eternal life. So we have these gifts from God. We have all speech. We have all wisdom. We have His supply in every moment and every way. You're not lacking, and God is faithful. He'll sustain you to the very end. So though we may be forgetful from time to time about God's gifts, we can be thankful that He helps us to remember, and that's what He's doing for us this morning. He's helping us to remember. He's telling us these things because we tend to forget. Though we forget, God is, as Nehemiah will go on to say, ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and He did not forsake them. It's true, we may forsake God, but He does not forsake us. We do not lack and we never will. God even helps us to remember this thing. As we go to the Lord now in our hearts and we confess our forgetfulness, as we confess our complaining, as we confess our jealousy and all these other things, and as we remember how much we receive through Christ, let's reflect for a moment, a few moments, on what this kind of remembering does, the advantages it gives to us in our lives. I want to mention three things. The first thing is that remembering increases our gratitude. Our remembering increases this joy in our lives. As gratitude increases, joy increases, closeness to God, and a whole bunch of other things. Remembering how you're blessed makes you a happier person. I'm sure at some point you've all been around somebody who's forgotten their blessings. I know, because we've all been that person, so I know you've been around them too. And we all hate being that person, right? You hate being the whiner and the complainer, that kind of things. But we all do get there sometimes. We complain about the temperature of the room. We complain about the speed of the traffic, our friends, our jobs, our families, our health. And it goes on and on. And we never run out of possible things to be complaining about. And we're constantly thinking that if we just had this thing or just had that thing, then we'd be fine. But of course, that's not true. If we noticed how much we complain, we'd see how not true that is. We could be sitting on a mountain of gold, and we would say, this is really uncomfortable. Right? We never run out of things to complain for. But listen to what God's word says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, perhaps you've been around a person who does exactly that, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Perhaps you've been around people or you know people who just treasure their friends, who don't take conveniences like cell phones or air conditioning for granted. People who know in the deepest parts of their souls that they don't deserve anything that they have, and everything that they have is from God's grace. People who know that they are loved by God and aren't dependent on anything, whether it's their immediate circumstances, a particular party, a political party that's in power, a relationship that's not quite right, they're not dependent on anything but God who loves them to be happy. They know in the bottom of their hearts that all good things come from God and that He only gives good things to His children. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, in ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give, and that it's only with gratitude that life becomes rich. And that's true. With gratitude, life becomes very rich. Perhaps you remember the story of the 10 lepers from Luke 17. It's short. Let me read it to you. It says, when Jesus healed these men, 10 lepers, and when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And they went and they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. When the leper returned, he was a happier man. And not just because he had been healed of his disease, but by faith he had trusted in the Lord, and now he is a man whose heart is full of praise, of thanksgiving. And he was closer to God, in this case, physically closer to God. While the other 9 were who knows where, he is with Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, praising and worshiping him. His heart and his mouth filled with praise. It's a great thing. He was made well by his faith. And that gratitude that springs from faith was expressed there. So ask yourself, what do you have to praise and thank God for? As Christians, there is so much. Here are some things that you can be happy about this morning. You can be happy about other saints. 1 Corinthians 1:4, remember Paul says, I thank my God for you. Right? That's one thing we can be thankful for the people sitting all around you right now. Romans 14:6 says we can be thankful for food. Hebrews 12:28 says we can be thankful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Philippians 3:20 points us to our citizenship in heaven. Philippians 4:10 tells us that we have, or 4:7 says that we have peace with God that transcends understanding. Romans 8:28 says that God is making all things work together for our good. 1 John 4:10 says we have the sacrifice of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Matthew Henry said, thanksgiving is good, but thanksgiving is better. I really like that. That's God's plan for us, an eternal life of praise and enjoyment of God. Consider what God has done for you. Every day, we can be like that grateful leper. We can know how much we've been forgiven, how well we have been made. We can put our faith in Jesus, remember his blessings to us. And instead of being blessed but ungrateful sad sacks, we can become happier people, thankful people, joyful people, people who are close to Jesus and praising him. And as we do that, as God does that in us, we grow closer and closer to fulfilling our chief end, which is glorifying God and enjoying him forever. So that's the first thing remembering our gifts does, is it increases our gratitude. It also decreases our worry. Remembering how we are blessed decreases our anxious worrying. Discontentment and worry are often tied very close together. When we think we lack something we need, we tend to worry. But go back to verse 7, and let's meditate on that. It says, you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord. Now, the scriptures are very plain that waiting for the revealing of our Lord will not be easy. They're very clear about this point. We're told all the time that in this age, as citizens of heaven, but people who are still in the world, we will face fiery trials, persecution, shame, darkness, the temptations of the evil one. We will have to be in spiritual battle with the powers of darkness and struggles with all kinds. And for Paul, this was not hypothetical. When Paul talks about thanksgiving, when he talks about not lacking anything, he talks about it as a person who knows what it means to suffer. In 2 Corinthians 11:23, and a few verses following, Paul says of these false servants of Christ, he says, are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. He says, I'm talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. So hear what Paul's saying. He's saying, you want to talk about suffering? Fine, let's talk about suffering. You want to know what it's like to be a servant of the Lord and to suffer for his sake? I beat you all, if that's how you want to play that game. 5 times received at the hands of the Jews, 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Paul knows what it means to have needs. Paul knows what it means to lack, or not lack things, but to feel the pressures of the world around him. Now, I don't think any of us here in this room have had to suffer like that, but we do still suffer. Paul says we suffer, we will suffer. Jesus says it too. And so we ask ourselves, like no doubt Paul asked himself from time to time, am I going to make it through this? Am I going to be okay? And what Jesus is telling us today through Paul, who knows about these things and speaks in the power of the Holy Spirit, he tells us, you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus. There's nothing, in other words, there's nothing that you don't have that you need in order to wait and to make it unto the end. Nothing. There's not one more dollar, one more relationship, one more spiritual gift than what you have right now to wait right now. Now, perhaps you'll need more later. Perhaps you'll need less later. But that's nothing to worry about. Because why? As he says, God is faithful, and God will sustain you. He will sustain you to the end. And so, brothers and sisters, based on this passage, we can banish worry from our minds and our hearts. We can consider the blessings and the one who has blessed us and know that we will be just fine. As Paul says in Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He continues in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or the sword? Paul goes on and says, for I am sure that neither life nor death, death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through faith in him, remembering his gifts and remembering the giver, we truly can let our worries go. Because he's solid and stable. And that leads to this last point. As our joy increases, as our anxiety and worry decreases, the Lord helps us by remembering these gifts to stay strong as we wait for the Lord's return. As our worry slips away, bravery shows up. Remembering the gifts God has given us gives us courage. And there are many, many passages of Scripture that come to mind here. The first one I thought of was of David facing Goliath, unafraid of this giant, trained warrior. We hear David first asking his fellow Israelites, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David's looking at the situation and saying, what is going on here? Why are you all afraid? Well, where is David's courage come from? Saul will try to give him courage. He'll put his armor on him. Saul will take his armor and put it on David, and it doesn't work. It doesn't fit. David tells us where his courage comes from. He remembers his gifts. He is mindful of the wonders God has done for him. And he says in 1 Samuel 17:37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. God equips us with his many graces so that we would lack nothing and to give us courage. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 through 7, to hold fast to his calling and to remember what he has been given as he goes forward. Here are the exact words. Paul says to Timothy, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands, of my hands. For God gave us not a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Paul is reminding Timothy, just as he reminds the Corinthians here, of what Timothy has. And God is doing the same for you today. He is reminding you of what you have in Christ. So fan it into flame. Put some oxygen on that thing. Let it grow. Let it build. Because God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of bravery, of courage, of self-control, and love, so that we can face the trials that we will face in this life. David says in Psalm 27, 1, "The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear?" To be the equivalent of bring it. Let's go. I'm okay. I'm going to be fine because the Lord is on my side. And we likewise have been given spiritual resources in Christ to stand strong, to know, to act, to love, to hold fast, to fight against the world. We do not need to shrink back as we wait. But instead, we need to remain strong, and we will remain strong with eager expectation, full of hope and courage. Because we do not wear the armor of man. We wear the armor of God. As Paul says in Ephesians 6, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." And then he goes on to describe that. First, he says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. But then he begins to describe those graces that God has given to us, those ways in which God has made us sufficient through Christ. He says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." This is the armor of God. This is the grace you have been given. You see why we can stand strong? Do you see why we can stand firm? Do you see why we can be grateful people even in the midst of much darkness? Because we don't stand in our own strength. We don't fight in our own strength. We stand in the strength of God. We fight in the strength of God. We draw our resources from Christ himself, who is at work within us and will sustain us to the end. This passage calls us to have courage in any trial or challenge that we might face. If we remember our gifts, if we remember our armor, we can be bold and fight in the strength of his might. So in conclusion, as you think of all these things that we've considered this morning, I hope that you have been encouraged and that you have been reminded to survey the wonderful gifts that come to us through Christ and his work for us on the cross. And if you don't know Jesus, if you've not put your faith in him, then I hope you have been duly enticed by the graciousness of the love of God to his children. If you hear of a grant that you can get at school, or a sale at the grocery store, or free money available, some benefit at work, you take advantage of these things, right? So why would you wait and not trust in Jesus when he is freely pouring these things out on those who put their faith in him? Why would you wait to trust Christ to receive the free gift of eternal life, which is a blessing to every Christian now and in the age to come? Don't wait. Instead, let us together be a people who know our Savior and his grace to us. Let us be a people that remember, that are filled with gratitude, find our worries slipping away, have greater and greater boldness for the fight and for the wait as we eagerly wait for the revealing of the Lord. Let us be a people of thanks living by trusting in God who sustains us to the end. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.